Do we thank the Lord enough, folks? I've asked that myself. Do we indeed thank the Lord enough for His mercies, His blessings, His forgiveness? It is something that I have thought long and hard about these recent days. I will admit, I got into a mode where I wasn't thanking the Lord a whole lot. Why is that? Well, a lot of times we come into perplexities, we come into situations, we come into events, we come into areas in our life that we get burdened down. We feel oppressed. I know I'm not alone there. It is the ultimate journey to come closer to the Father. The Lord bless us. But I did ask a question as well, as I thought about this message on thankfulness. Who is the greatest saint in the world? Now, we could pop through a few names there right now, couldn't we? Instantly. Who is the greatest saint in the world? Not the one who prays the most or fasts the most. It's not the saint who gives the most money or is the most eminent for temperance or love or justice, but it is the saint who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God desires, who receives everything as an illustration of God's goodness, and who has a heart always ready to praise God for it. A grateful mind is a great mind. As I contemplated this idea of thankfulness, I realized it was not just an idea. It was the essence of our relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give what? Thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me." I'd like to read you a quote from The Upward Look. Don't you like that? The Upward Look is beautiful, isn't it? "Keep His praise in your heart from morning till night." That quote is not saying to keep praise in your heart when you're feeling good. "Day and night, speak not one word of repining, but ask for the healing power of God to come to your heart and mind. Be cheerful and hopeful. Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. I just said praise the Lord, but that's what that quote said. Praise the Lord. If you can't think of anything to be thankful for, folks, at least be thankful for what you have escaped. Isn't that true? Every day we escape situations, events, even cataclysmic events. If you can't think of anything to be thankful for, you need to make up your mind that perhaps there is something indeed missing in your life. Get on your knees and thank God that you are on your feet, for the 2 feet He has given you to stand, to work for Him. The Lord has given us the ability to think and to choose. Let us use the minds of God has given us for His glory. The story goes of a minister who visited a mental hospital. One of the patients came up to him and said, "Good sir, have you ever thanked God for your reason?" Isn't that an intelligent idea? Do we thank God that we have the ability to reason, to put together difficult concepts? And you know something? Perhaps the most difficult concept of all is God, to the secular mind. Is the concept of God difficult for us? Why? Faith. It is faith. And the living experience, breathing and allowing Jesus to transform us by the renewing of our minds through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts? It's a good question. The Anglo-Saxon word think is actually derived from a root word, thank. Hence the sermon title for today. Think and thank. Let us think thankful thoughts. A few years ago, just to put things in some perspective, a few years ago, a couple lost their house in a fire. Fortunately, they were able to search for them and snatch all the kids out of that fiery home before the whole thing collapsed. True story. They stood out on the sidewalk, hugging and kissing each other. And they stood there thanking God. Why? They were saved. Because despite the fact that they had lost their home, they had not lost their treasure, which was their kids and their God. Their family was still intact. Puts things in perspective, doesn't it? What trial we go through. What struggle we have. Everyone here. Each one here has struggles of their own. Everyone. You know something that is comforting to me? I'm not alone in my struggles. I have a family who struggles too. Not that I wish struggles upon you. But it is through the struggle that we see. Our eyes are opened. Our ears are unplugged. And we finally come to that place where we allow the Spirit of God to move in our hearts. Psalm 95 and verse 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. A little schoolboy was asked, Now, what do you have to be thankful for? He said, My glasses. He explained, They keep the boys from fighting me and those girls from kissing me. I had a chuckle over that one when I read it. But you know something? That's true, isn't it? For a little boy. Gratitude indeed seems rare these days. We have even forbade our school children to thank God for their lunch. You wonder why society is fast decaying. Ingratitude is a sign of the last days, isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Aren't we not living in perilous times, folks? For men, lover of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and I could go on. But that is sufficient to say. When you read that text, you see the society that we are living in. And that text is pointing to us, to our day, the last days of Earth's history. Unappreciative, thankless. In the last days, about the only place you can find gratitude is where? In the dictionary. And then it's empty words then. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Has He benefited you today? Each one has been benefited by the gift of life. When we wake up in the morning, do we say, Thank you, Lord, for the ability to breathe? Or we just wake up and assume that we're breathing. What is the gift of God? The breath of life. God sends so much blessings. Do we thank Him for life's extras? You cannot be expected to remember them all. You probably do not have a photographic mind. Don't forget them all. Remember, folks, some of the blessings. Keep them at the forefront of your mind. Christians, above all else, ought to be thankful. This past week, as I studied, and as I went about my work day, in the midst of working, I was asking God for some peace, and also for clarity of mind. And I also thought about some of the things to be thankful for that had not happened to me. I was in a rush one day to get to work, so I rushed off to work, no one left in the house, not locking the doors, and I realized, how foolish not to lock one's doors. But yet, I never had a problem yet. Not saying I wouldn't. But I realized, I came home and realized thieves had not entered. And thieves had not taken anything or destroyed or maimed. That is a blessing, isn't it? Something that did not happen to us. I could have been mugged this year, couldn't I? What happens when your heat goes off and your house is dark and cold? I became thankful for electricity. And I am thankful for each calm day. Calm day of assurance. Living in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The firestorm will rage. But yes. Did you ever hear that commercial many years ago about being under the dome? Did you ever hear that? Anyway, it's a worldly commercial. Doesn't really matter, but it's about being under the dome of protection. protection of Jesus Christ, the dome of righteousness. And now we come to our scripture reading for this morning, 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, for His mercy endureth forever. That was verse 34. Sometimes, folks, we do too much complaining and too little appreciating. A man was walking home with a sack lunch. His shoelace came untied and he stopped, put his lunch down on the sidewalk, and started to retie his shoe. A large dog came along and ran off with his lunch. And the man said, "Thank God I still have my appetite." It's all in perspective, isn't it? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when we fall into divers or various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Well, we all need patience. Patience for the trials that come our way. Patience for situations that come our way. Patience for those who don't see it our way. Patience for ourselves to see it some other person's way. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. I like the way they put it, her perfect work. The bride, it sort of brought me to the area of the bride, the church, her perfect work. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A 9-year-old boy came thumping into the house after school. He had been walking through the mud and pounded across the kitchen floor, leaving muddy footprints on the floor his mother had just washed. He called out to her, "Hi, Mom. Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. What have you got to be thankful for?" She looked at him and said, "I'm thankful you are not twins." That's good, though, isn't it? Yeah. We should not pray so much for the removal of affliction as for wisdom to make a right use of it. Let me illustrate. What is the difference between a prison and a monastery? Now let's remove the idea we have of monasteries in our minds. What is the difference between a prison and a monastery? Both inhabitants are incarcerated behind massive walls, aren't they? Both are shut in from outside influences. Both are sequestered from people, separated from people. Both are famous for austere conditions and food, very cold and dank type of conditions. Both are cold in the winter and hot in the summer. The difference is just a contrast between griping and gratitude, though. Imprisoned criminals, by and large, spend every moment griping and complaining over their forced confinement. Self-imprisoned saints spend every waking moment giving thanks to God. When a criminal becomes a saint, the prison of their hearts becomes a prison of praise. A prison of praise. When a saint gives up on Jesus Christ, even a church becomes like a prison. Have you given up on Jesus Christ? Then you are indeed in a prison. There comes a warm euphoria, bespeaking gracious living, that fills the heart with gratitude and genuine thanksgiving. It is time to tally up our blessings large and small, and so acknowledge heaven's hand that touches one and all. Were the Pharisees in prison? They indeed were. Self-prison, the worst prison of all. Luke 18:11, the Pharisees stood up and prayed thus, "God, I thank thee for what? I'm not like that man." What an example. What great words. Yet he left the temple with divine disapproval. Notice what he said. "I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and or even as this publican." The worst of the worst, the publican. Pharisees were indeed in prison. They had the blinders on. They had glasses on, but they was all steamed up with self-righteousness. Couldn't see through them. Canada is a great nation, isn't it? Freedom. But have we become unthinkably weak? Too weak to lift our hearts to heaven in gratitude to God? to count his blessings? Our cousins south of the border, Americans. A prominent American who was visiting Argentina was asked by the President of the Republic this question. Why has South America gotten on so poorly and America so well? What do you think is the reason? The visitor replied, I think the reason is found in the fact that the Spaniards came to South America seeking gold, while the Pilgrim Fathers came to North America seeking God. And they did, although they are strange. Are we personally more thankful for God than we are for gold, for the treasures that you have in this world? Do we honestly appreciate God more than our treasures? James chapter 1, verse 2 and onward, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. We read this text. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting what? Nothing. Wanting nothing. And here's a story that's not true. It's a legend. There is a legend of a man who found the barn where Satan kept his seeds, ready to be sown into the human heart. More numerous than any were the seeds of discouragement. The man learned that they can be made to grow almost anywhere. He questioned Satan and found that there was one place he could never get them to thrive. In the heart of a grateful person. To stand firm. We learn silence from the talkative. Did you ever think about that? We learn silence from the talkative. Toleration from the intolerant. And kindness from the unkind. Yet strangely, we are ungrateful to those instructors. That puts things in perspective, doesn't it? But it's been more of a forefront now. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. With an alert mind, and here's the other condition. If we do not pray with an alert mind, it's somewhat useless. But if we don't pray, if we pray with this ingredient missing, it's just as well not to pray at all. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. A thankful heart, no matter what. Are you struggling? But you know something? It is in struggle that we are refined. Is that not true? Mother Teresa said this statement, The best way to show my gratitude to God is to accept everything, even my problems, and here's the word, with joy. If we pause to think, we'll have cause to thank. A thankful heart enjoys blessings twice. You've been blessed once, you'll be blessed again. When they're received, and when they're remembered. So you have a double blessing with one blessing. When they're received, and when you remember the blessing. I've remembered many blessings lately. If Christians praise God more, the world would doubt Him less. Isn't that true? If we sincerely praise God as we walk the streets, praising His holy name in our lives, the world would indeed be changed. Instead, all too many of us count our blessings on our fingers and our miseries on a calculator. Throw the calculators out. Another illustration. A group of visitors at a summer resort were watching a sunset from the gallery of the hotel. A heavy, unromantic man lingered until the last glow faded and seemed to be absolutely thrilled. Someone asked, Are you an artist? No, madam, I'm a plumber, but I was blind for 5 years. Doesn't that really put things in perspective? Helen Keller. Who knows Helen Keller? It would be a blessing if each human being were stricken blind and deaf for a few days. That would indeed put things into perspective. A gravestone in a cemetery in Cades Cove, which lies just west of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park in Tennessee, contains this statement about a young boy that died. He was the sunshine of our home. I hope that those parents told the boy that when he was alive. That they expressed their joy in him and for him. If sometimes, you know, folks, we need praise, don't we? We often say, well, don't praise too much, you're going to get a big head. And sometimes that tends to get us to feel, well, let's not praise Him at all. But Lord has given us this area to be thankful for brothers and sisters and to speak kindly to them and to uplift them. Brother, I appreciate you. And sister, I appreciate you. And wife, I appreciate you. Family, I appreciate you. A person cannot read their own tombstone. Let's praise each other and praise God, whom all blessings overflow. If life is to have meaning, and this is probably the key area that I have contemplated on, and if God's will is to be done, all of us have to accept who we are and what we are, give it back to God, and thank Him for the way He made us. What I am is God's gift to me. What I do with it is my gift to Him. A few questions I'm going to leave with you now in closing. It is time that we analyze our lives and see where we are. What if God didn't take time to bless us today, since we didn't take time to thank Him for yesterday? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow Him today? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? And what if God didn't walk with us today because we failed to recognize it as His day? What if God took away the Bible tomorrow because we would not read it today? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God would not hear us today because we did not listen to Him yesterday? What if God answers our prayers the way we answer His call for service? And what if God met our needs the way we meet His needs? I don't want to leave you with the idea that this is a sermon of condemnation. Indeed, it's not. It's a sermon of thankfulness. That our hearts can be open. Create in us a clean heart, so we can indeed thank Him and praise Him in the way that He deserves. No matter what. No wonder David said in Psalm 103, verse 10, He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Now we can indeed praise God about that. I'm going to read you a quote from a book entitled The Youth's Instructor. To be a Christian means to possess the attributes of Christ's character. To have a heart imbued, don't you love that word? Imbued with the love for God. To delight to honor God, to reach earnestly after heavenly attainments. It means to render to God grateful songs of praise from a heart swelling with gratitude. Songs of praise are useless if you're not grateful. We can sing them till eternity, but we do not have a grateful heart, it means nothing. It means to render to God grateful songs of praise from a heart swelling with gratitude, to appreciate all that has its origin in God and heaven. The Christian loves what God loves. A heart filled with Christian love is lifted far above the atmosphere of selfishness. It lives in a pure, bright, holy atmosphere. Now, you know, I had to stop there when I read that. It lives in a pure, bright, holy atmosphere. Do you ever see the cartoon, The Born Loser? It used to be The Born Loser. This poor guy walking around had this cloud over his head and the rain kept coming down on top of him, right? All around him was sunny, but this poor man, drenched every day, misery, The Born Loser. This does not say that. The Christian loves what God loves. It lives in a pure, bright, holy atmosphere. Are you living in a pure, bright, holy atmosphere today? The love that God puts into the heart is a love dictated by holy impulses, sustained by a sense of duty, and cherished by a resolute will. Resolute, firm, grounded. In the soul where this love is cherished, virtue will grow like a tree in a well-cultivated garden. What did Jesus say when the woman with the issue of blood touched His garment? Virtue has what? Virtue has gone out of me. I want some of that virtue. don't you? Oh Lord, help us to be thankful that you have not dealt with me according to the quantity of my sin, nor rewarded me according to my wickedness. You have given me so much. Now mercifully grant to me one more thing, a grateful heart.